Mr. Rich Eisen.
Yes, yes, yes. Can confirm. Just show me. Just show me. There I am. Ah, yes. Right here on the Roku channel for free, as always. And to just let everybody who's listening on Westwood One, Cumulus, Odyssey, Sirius, XM, our podcast, I am wearing a fantastic blue shirt that brings out the color scheme in our program right here. It perfectly matches. And it makes me happy. And I'm thrilled to be here on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're five wide. We're five wide on the show. We've got lots to talk about. Lots of football on the brain. Why not? It is the top of December. And college football's playoff quartet is set. Deion Sanders is a college football coach. We've got week 14 in the NFL. Week 13 finished last night. We talk about it with so many folks here on the program. Andrea Savage, who we adore, is in studio hour number three. The new show, Tulsa King, is dynamite, and she is dynamite in it. We talked about it with Sly Stallone a couple of weeks ago. She is stopping by in hour number three, and her TV show, I'm Sorry, is sorely missed, and we'll talk about that with her. CeeDee Lamb is on the program. Sean McDermott is on the program. CeeDee Lamb of the Dallas Cowboys, Sean McDermott, head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Those are two teams that Odell Beckham Jr. just visited.
Oh.
So, and he's apparently making a decision between those two teams and the Giants as we speak.
Just waiting on my text from him.
I know you are. We are waiting on a DM from him, too. We're our ears to the ground. And so that's to talk about with them. Trent Dilfer, the new head coach of Blazer football, the UAB Blazers, hired him. Lipscomb Academy.
Love it.
The high school that he was coaching at. You know, Jeff Saturday goes from high school to the pros. He goes from high school to UAB, and he's now in college football. He's going to be dynamite there. We've got playoff clinching scenarios to talk about.
Oh,
yes, there's three of them. We got to talk about those. I've got a top five list.
Oh,
and Chris Brockman, good to see you over there.
I'm great, man. You didn't ask, but I'm just telling you.
I love it.
I watched Tom Brady play football last night and do something that only he can do.
Correct.
And that was awesome. I'm really excited. I shared that moment with my son. He has no idea what happened, but it was cool.
I'm going to hit on that in a second. Good to see you, Jay Felly. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Where's Del Tufo today?
I don't know.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Light the candle. Light the candle.
Hey, here's just something weird. I haven't worn jeans in a year.
Wow.
Just throwing that out.
Thanks for starting the show at
are
that.
Are you wearing them right now? Is that why you said that?
No, I haven't worn jeans in a year.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I have a feeling on that shot, you're right. See, if put that shot up again one more time, if you don't mind. You could see the very top corner of the word bout of how about them Cowboys. You could bring it up. There's
your whole thing.
There's your grease board. There it is. I have a feeling CeeDee Lamb might be hearing from that grease board.
Why wouldn't he?
So, table's all set. Our first guest is Warren Sapp. I'll be honest, I texted Sapper because I knew he was at the game last night. They showed him on Monday Night Football standing next to Derek Brooks.
Oh.
You know, if Tampa's playing a home game on a Monday night and Tom Brady's taking on the Saints, you know Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp are going to be standing next to each other at the game, and they were there.
Too bad,
and
man.
So I knew Sapp was there, and I'll be honest with you, I texted him, you got to come on the show to talk about it tomorrow, when the score was 16-3 New Orleans and Todd Bowles decided to punt the football with 7 minutes to go.
I thought that was a good move.
And Rich, they're booing in the stadium, and I'm like, I got to get Sapp on this show to talk about this thing because it looks like the Saints are doing their usual to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Sapp didn't respond.
That's weird for him.
I don't know if his phone might have been away. You never know.
Bad cell service.
Cell reception in a stadium can get dicey. And then a sequence of events played out where it seemed like the football gods put their thumb a little bit on the scale of the team in red and pewter.
Yeah.
By that I mean Saints have the ball. They're up 13. Dalton's been moving it very well. I mean, he played a terrific game last night, Andy Dalton. You got to give it up to him, for him, what have you. But they hand it off to Alvin Kamara. Great idea, right? When you're trying to take time off the clock. His helmet comes off. He's got to come off the field. In comes Mark Ingram, who's got a first down. He's running free on the sideline. Mark Ingram normally would just be aware enough to just slide down. You're not going to go out of bounds and stop the clock. And if you are, that first down marker that's right in front of you, that's totally in your line of view because you're running towards it.
And it's yellow.
You would be the one. Well, actually, it's orange, but maybe you need to adjust your set. But I mean, it's just it's right there, and he runs out of bounds in front of it, and he goes down on a knee on the sideline, and clearly he's hurt. But he doesn't pick up the first down, and he goes out of bounds, and it's third and one, and that's when the Saints kind of take over by throwing it on third and one. I don't understand teams in the NFL this year.
What are we doing?
And also in college. It's like third and one. You're going to go and shotgun and throw it, or shotgun and run it. Can we play football? There's something called a fullback. You know, maybe I'm a throw.
They still employ those?
It's what I'm saying. Like H-back, fullback, whatever you want to call it. You know,
you got a nose tackle.
If I'm a head coach in the NFL one day, wave a wand. I'm now an NFL head coach. You know the first thing I'm going to do after demanding the fact that I control the roster after that? I'm going to get one guy, and I'm going to tell my team up in the front office, buy a neck roll for him because he's going to wear a neck roll and he's going to be standing there and he's going to go hit the hole for somebody to follow him. That's the way I'm going to play football. I want three tight ends, maybe six offensive linemen, and let's go. At any rate, they throw it incomplete, and then on the plus side of the field in this day and age, when you are going and throwing it on third and one, normally you do that because you're going to run it on fourth down, but they punt. Now, I understand this Tom Brady that we're seeing this year is not the Tom Brady of old, but you got to know, that guy still exists. Mm-hmm. That guy is still in there. He's still a guy who comes out and LFGs the corner of an end zone when he's warming up. He's still the same guy. I saw him in person in Munich. He is definitely bristling at the circumstances. You saw him angry on the sideline saying, what the F is up with that, if you can read lips.
Not happy about the punt.
What the F was that? Okay, he was angry about something, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's still the same guy. He might miss a throw here and there. He's still Tom effing Brady, as we all saw last night. And however they keep playing, their last two games at home, because they had a home game in Munich that was technically a home game for them. The last two times they played in Tampa, the first 50 minutes of the game was terrible, and then the last 10 minutes of the game is the way they should play the first 50 minutes of the game.
Right.
So we all know they scored with no time left on the Rams, went off to Munich and won that game, and then had a bye, and then whatever the hell happened in Cleveland did, and it looked like the back was not only against the wall here, but the division was about to get wide open for all four teams. If the Bucs fell to 5-7, the Saints would have been right there at 5-8. The Falcons are in it. Even the Carolina Panthers, who told Baker Mayfield, you're out, they would still be in this mix. Technically, they still are. There's still a lot of road left, especially because the Bucs are staring at a trip to San Francisco next week. This was dire straits. This was back against the wall. This is like Tom Brady might actually have a final season in Tampa or period, finishing below 500 and watching another team win the division anyway with a 500 record or below. I mean, that's the stuff that was on the line last night. And then he starts making throws and everybody starts making plays. Scotty Miller's making a play. What a catch by Julio Jones. It was like he channeled his Super Bowl catch against the Patriots. It wasn't toe-tapping. It wasn't on the sideline. But it was a badly thrown ball, to be honest with you. But he grabbed it. He moved his body in the air. He kind of channeled that acrobatic stuff in the air. He was channeling his inner Julio Jones, and Godwin's making a catch. And Brady had to score twice. He throws a pass to Godwin. Donovan Smith, that was not a hold, guys. That was an absolute wrestling takedown.
That
was
an absolute
that had to get called. Even when you got to swallow your whistle. That was terrible.
Yeah.
So now Brady's got to do it from first and goal way back near, as they term, the high red zone. Now,
I'm hearing that
phrase a lot now. The high red.
Well, like the 15 to the 20.
Whatever. Just give me a break.
What are we doing?
Anyway, long story short, Brady does it.
Of course he did.
Latest he's ever thrown a game-winning touchdown pass in his career with 3 seconds left.
He's just trying to own every record and do
everything. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And he is.
44th career fourth quarter comeback win that broke a record with Marino.
Peyton Manning.
And Peyton Manning was watching it on his Manning cast with his brother. And holy cow, did the Bucs need that. Again, going to San Francisco next week. And they're 6-6. And now they have a nice lead because they've already beaten the Falcons, who just lost to the Steelers. They have a nice lead in division. A little bit of a cushion now. And I did turn to my 11-year-old Coop, who was sitting there watching it with me. And in the same way that you just said, Chris, to start the show, you were watching it with Cage, who is almost three, you know, a couple of months shy of being three. He won't remember it. I did say to him, I'm like, you are lucky. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky that you're old enough to remember this, that you saw Tom Brady play at age 45. It's 45. Okay.
That's insane.
I mean, we could keep on saying it over and over and over again. And I know there's a lot of people think it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher, like wah, wah, wah. It's the same thing. It did it again.
Man, that was cold-blooded.
Thank you, Gus. It was.
It was cold-blooded, man.
It was cold-blooded.
I expected it. I told Chris that. I did, Rich.
I'll be honest with you.
This dude's a killer, man. I expect him to win.
Yeah, but at 16-3, the Bucs' offense looked horrible.
And I have to give it up to Bowles, because when he punted, I thought of the line I said last week, is his next risk will be his first. And he punted it away.
They're winning in spite of Bowles.
And I'll be honest with you, they got lucky that Mark Ingram, who, by the way, tweeted out an apology to his team and his teammates that he should have picked up the first down.
He was hurt.
I know he was, but he...
He should have been out there.
If he got that first down, that would have been another 2 minutes off the clock. And Brady, as we all knew, needed every last second to do it. We got to give it up. Bucks are still alive. They've taken many shots. Still alive.
45, man.
Mm.
You know, Rich, Joe Burrow is 25. So if Joe Burrow plays for 20 more years, he will then be the same age as Tom Brady.
Kind of, well, how about this one? You want to set this one up, and then we'll end the conversation for some breaking news here. That Brock Purdy, mm-hmm. who Brady is playing against,
underdog
against. Next week, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Now the most relevant Mr. Irrelevant, because he's now the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy was talking about the honor of playing against Tom Brady. And his quote was, man, he's been playing longer than I've been alive. Fact. Fact. He's been playing longer than I've been alive.
Wow.
We got to witness this.
That's happening next week. And the Bucs go in with a win that they needed so desperately. They did. And we'll see. Because in a playoff game, when you think Brady's out, he'll pull you back in, as he's done now again. And you could see the players responded. Godwin making plays. Miller made plays. Julio Jones made plays. And even the one play that Mike Evans couldn't make or didn't make, drew a flag. Breaking news right here. Ian Rappaport, my colleague. We're sure this is a blue check mark, that this isn't, you know, I'm not strolling out of the Hofbrau house here.
Now him and Tom Pelissero both have this.
The Tennessee Titans just lost, as we all know, to the Philadelphia Eagles. And the general manager of the team, John Robinson, is being fired by the Titans right now. And one can only read into this is that ownership watched A.J. Brown do what he did against the Titans. And even though Treylon Burks, the young Arkansas wide receiver who was the height, weight, speed comp for A.J. Brown. When I say comp, it's just in the draft world and the terms, the terminology of the talent evaluators is like the guy's got a similar height and weight and speed to this guy. So if we get rid of that guy, we'll get a younger version of him. We don't know if he can be him, but just in terms of the comps, the comparisons, this can be that guy. And they traded away A.J. Brown to Philadelphia, and with the first-round draft choice they got, they chose Treylon Burks. And you know, Mike Vrabel, when I was talking to him prior to the draft, rumors about A.J. Brown being traded, he basically said, I don't want to be the coach of the Titans if he's not here. I love him. Well, obviously, he's still the coach of the Titans, and he's the reigning coach of the year. And they're 7-5, I think, in large part because of him, because they buy what he's selling. But A.J. Brown just lit up the Titans. And even though Burks scored a touchdown, and the reason why he scored a touchdown, you know, was incredible. I mean, he got lit up and he held onto it.
That was amazing.
But A.J. Brown, he's not. A.J. Brown, he is not. And you have to sit there and you have to wonder, okay, if he's on this team, are we better than 7-5 right now? And I think the answer to that is yes. Certainly a game they lost in Kansas City when Malik Willis was starting, they could have used a nice A.J. Brown touchdown or first down. Or they almost won that thing without everybody. At any rate, as we all know, the offensive coordinator there also was busted for DUI after a game in Green Bay, flying home. There may be a lot going on there that we don't know about. There's a lot of speculation just off the top of my head reacting to this news. But he's also put together a nice team. But they're missing something. It happened. And the guy in the human bat suit, which is what, you know, Daniel Jeremiah referred to both A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. Put it all together, and I guess the general manager is now out in Tennessee. Man, rubber's meeting the road, huh?
Not for long, man.
NFL does stand for that.
Yep. Wow.
Although Tom Brady's like, yo, how about I'll play longer?
Tom Brady and Josh Johnson are going to play forever.
And Josh Johnson, you might see him unless, and that's another thing to keep an eye out for later today at 4 Eastern time. We'll find out when the waiver wire is closed over the last 24 hours if the 49ers claimed Baker Mayfield or somebody else did before them or nobody did, and he's an absolute free agent that the Niners can call up immediately at 4:01 Eastern time. Something to keep an eye on as Odell Beckham makes his decision. And Jerry Jones went on the radio today in the Metroplex in his usual radio spot and poured water on the Cowboys signing him. And that's something we're going to ask Sean McDermott at the top of hour number two, because he's not working out for teams. We'll talk about that shortly on the Rich Eisen Show, but we'll take a break and we'll get 99 on the phone. 99, Warren Sapp. What did he think of last night's performance? Our friend Deion Sanders is now a coach in college football, major college football program in Colorado. So much to talk about with the Pro Football Hall of Famer on a very busy newsy edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here, and with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kickaround for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
Pro Football Hall of Famer was at last night's game in Tampa. Joins us now here on the Rich Eisen Show, our buddy Warren Sapp. How you doing, Sapp?
I'm wonderful, Rich. What's going on, baby?
I got to be, in full disclosure, you know I always am straight with you. You know, right? I never lie to you, Warren, ever. I texted you, hey, would you like to come on the show when it was 16-3 New Orleans? That's when I texted you.
And I can tell you, because you know I'm dead honest with you,
Yeah. That's
when I was walking out of the stadium going to my car to take me and my child the hell away from that football.
So you were not there. That's amazing. You were not there for the comeback.
Yes.
You weren't there?
I had the NFL Plus in my hand playing in the car.
Okay.
We were going crazy in the car.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Once I got to the car, and then some said, idiot, you got to turn the game on. You can drive away, but you got to turn it on. So I turn it on, and then I look down, and it's 10-6. And it's 2 minutes and 54 seconds on the clock. And I think it's second down. I'm like, we got a shot. I'm like, come on, boys. We got to take him down one time right here. So we got the sack, and then they get Brady back the ball. And, you know, as a Michigan man, there's a new saying down in Tampa. In Brady, we trust.
Of course.
He's going to work on you.
I know.
I
love it.
This is what he does. He passed Peyton Manning for the most fourth quarter wins, comebacks, and overtimes. Man, the man just keep amazing us. I mean, I've always said, you got to kill him. You cannot give him a chance. You have to kill him.
Well, I mean, what is, in your estimation, Warren, what is missing? There's something missing. What's missing?
You know what? I'm like Tom. You know, because last night, you know, our third down was good. Our run game was okay. It wasn't nothing to write home about. I mean, but when you look at a game and you go 8 for 15 on third down? That's efficient football. I mean, you'd only win those games outright. You don't barely score. I mean, and last night I'm standing at Rich when we got 3 points and they're driving. I'm like, if they drive this ball to score, I am walking out of here. There's no way I'm about to do this right now because, I mean, we can't score 17 tonight. So, I mean, our third down was good. I mean, it ain't like we, you know, one interception, which was a horrible throw. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Well, but I saw it happen. The 56 was ducking in the line, and then he went back, and then the tight end went right across his face. So he saw red, and then when he looked back, it was him. I mean, oh. But
so
when you got Tyson Hill catching a touchdown, and we look like we can't find him on the defensive side, I mean, it just didn't look good. It really didn't. And then Julio makes a wonderful catch.
That was great.
Scotty Miller. You know, the old Bang 8 looked like it came back into existence for a quick minute. Quick catch by Scotty Miller. And, I mean, it's like they wake up at the end of the game. It's unbelievable how bad we play sometimes.
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know if when you were listening on NFL Plus, they had the Monday Night Football feed or if it was radio or what have you, but you know, Joe Buck at one point when it was 16-3 after they punted the ball away, and it did look like the Saints were about to complete pulling off yet another number on Tom Brady and the Bucks. He was saying that they're missing Bruce Arians on offense, that fire. What do you think? Would you agree with that?
No, because this is the same Byron Leftwich and same Tom Brady that put up 30 points a game for 2 straight years. But this ain't the same Tom Brady that missed 2 weeks of training camp and going through the personal whatever that's going on. And it's not the same Leonard Fournette because we can see him. One thing he got to do is pick his damn feet up going around that corner. That's what Tom looked like. Oh, my God. I mean, like, jump in the air, Leonard. Come on. The guy is diving at your feet. Pick him up.
So you think what? What's the end game here now, Warren? 6-6.
Get to the playoffs because we have the weakest division in football, no doubt about it. I mean, I walked in the game last night and said, Atlanta lost yesterday. We got nothing to lose. We got nothing to lose tonight. I mean, we ain't like we're going to lose a game or lose a spot. So, I mean, get to the playoffs, and we got the greatest quarterback that's ever lined up in postseason, anytime, anywhere. And nobody wants to see 12. Nobody does.
Dallas comes in. What do you think? Wild card week.
We get the home game?
Yeah, of course. You win the division. You're going to win the division. You're going to print a playoff ticket there in Raymond James, and it's Dallas who strolls in. What happens?
Yeah, Dallas can't stop the run. We get Wirtz back. We find a way to chip Parsons, and we're fine. Because I don't fit a Dallas Cowboys defense. Are you kidding me? Except Parsons. Not a kid from Flatfoot Rush. Kid is something special.
Right.
But those DBs, come on. I think God with Mike Evans and Julio Jones and Mike and Scotty Miller and our tight ends against the boys and Rudolph is coming on. Don't forget, we got Kyle Rudolph in there. He's getting it all down with Brady, and we'll be fine by the time we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and Godwin looked like he was scoring the game-winning touchdown last night till it was called back. So you think Dallas? This is not you waving the red and the pewter at me. This is your firm belief that Dallas comes in wild card weekend. Tom and the Bucs have the ability to pull this off against Dallas.
Yes, no doubt about it. He can't walk in Raymond James Stadium and think. I think Eli Manning did it on his run out of there. Raymond James Stadium is not, and the Rams got us, which is damn all our bliss. But other than that, no one wants to see 12 in the postseason. I wouldn't want to see it.
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, what do you think about Prime taking the Colorado job, Warren?
Love it, love it, love it. Now we're gonna see what Prime can really do. With NIL and some real facilities, and you know, some kids gonna really, you know, flock to the place because he, you know, like I do, he's so genuine about what his love for those kids and what he's teaching and the discipline that he's talking about and the things that he preach on those Instagram things. That's everyday being around Prime. That's who and what he is, and it's just amazing that people were like. You know, what person went to a black college and left to a Power Five school? Yeah, he used them as a stepping stone, really? Is that what you do? Is that the route to a Power Five school? Okay, all right. It's unbelievable.
Because, you know, he got some blowback, although I know him, we know him, and I thought this is straight talk. He told the kids, you know, that he's bringing his own luggage. It's named Louie. You heard that one? Did you hear that line?
And it's Louie. He's bringing his luggage and his Louis, and he'll tell you two things about Coogee. It's comfortable and it ain't cheap. It's the same brother you'll see every day. But what he's bringing is some real players. You see, the quarterback got in the portal real fast.
Well, I mean, he's bringing Shador. I mean, and who, by the way, I can't wait to watch him play in Pac-12 football. I can't wait to watch his son do it because you know, Deion wants his son to win the Heisman. You know that.
Listen,
you know that.
Listen. Yeah. They prepare. That's the thing about it, Rich. If he didn't work as hard as he did and Snorris didn't work as hard as he did, I wouldn't have the confidence. I'd be like, this might not work too good. But just, it's there. It's always been in them, and Prime's always, you know, pushed them towards it. And they gravitated to it. It's something they love, too. It's not something they're doing because it's for Dad. No, we're doing this together. And it's like a partnership. I love it. Give me goosebumps talking about it. Because, you know, to not have a father like that and to have Deion with those kids, I mean, hey, man, I'm going to get my degree and ask for a job. I promise you I am.
Oh, is that right? Is that right? Yeah. What are you going?
Yeah. Breaking news on the Roku. Our honeymoon is over. We good. I'm asking for a job, Prime, as soon as I get this paperwork.
What paperwork is it? What do you got?
Degree. You need a degree to coach from college, Rich.
Well,
I left the University of Miami and never looked back. I got to turn around and go back and get a couple classes.
What degree? What degree? What degree are you going for at the U?
What do they call it? What do they call it? General studies?
Yeah. So what is that? You're studying generals? The study of generals?
That means you got enough hours and passed enough classes to get a piece of paper to say, yeah, now you're good.
Okay. The generals you're studying are Patton and So chicken? Is that what it is?
No, General Tao.
Okay.
General
okay, good. Very good. Okay. Didn't know that. All right. Well, I mean, by the way, Deion, I don't understand schools that wouldn't take this or considered him a risk. I just don't get it. And he will show. He will prove out. No
oh,
question.
No. Right. This is going to be lovely, Rich, to watch. This is going to be lovely to watch.
Last one lovely. For you.
And I want to be a part of it. I want to see if I can sneak through the door and get in there and teach the kids to go rush the passes because they're giving out $100 million contracts.
Okay.
You see what I did with the Washington – you see what I did with my Washington Commanders up there? You see them boys hunting.
Yeah, I see. Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, last one for you, Warren. Did you see Mike Purcell go in the – grill of Russell Wilson the other day coming off the field? That's 2 weeks ago now, though. What do you think is going on in that locker room on the defensive side of the ball? Were you ever in a locker room where
you know what, Rich? You know what, Rich? For the life of me, I didn't think it was that bad in Seattle, but evidently it was. Because I've seen more people take shots at one of the quarterbacks that you would beg to have on a Sunday night. You know, my Brad Johnson is over there doing trick shots over on Instagram.
It's big bad Brad.
But, you know, when you drop a ball on top of, you know, Lockett and Baldwin all them years he was doing up there, I mean, whoa. But we got to look to Nathaniel Hackett. It's all at the top. It starts from the top. From the fourth down and five at the beginning of the year, when you try to kick a 64-yard field goal, everybody looks at you like, he ain't got no confidence in Russell. So why should we? It all stems from the top.
I don't know what has caused the regression, but I can see aggression. You know what I mean? I could see the aggression. You know, the knives are out. I mean, somebody had to come out and say that his birthday party was half empty as opposed to half full. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, they definitely gonna tell it.
You know? All right, Sap.
They definitely gonna tell it, Rich.
Okay.
Hey, when it's going bad, it goes really, really bad. Especially when it's a quarterback. I've never seen this before in my life.
Well, I know that your phrase.
Even the Jets quarterback, as bad as he handled that press conference and everything, he ain't on the Barbie like this.
That he definitely got roasted, and now however he got sat, and now Mike White is lighting it up, and you see the team wearing T-shirt saying Mike F and White. I mean, when you see his teammates do you know, like that's that.
Oh, trust me, when he was slinging that wet ball
right
in that rain, I'm like, boy, they got something with this young man. Because if you could spin that thing when it's wet, oh my goodness.
But I also know your phrase, Warren, because I always listen to you. The three things that you don't mess with is your kicker, your quarterback, and somebody's family. Like, that was it. And somebody's messing with the quarterback in Denver. Somebody is. I don't know who it is.
Big time. And we've been picking on the head coach since the beginning of the season. So, hey, only thing left is the kicker. Who is the kicker?
Well, we found out in week one it was McManus, if you didn't know. I mean, you found out who the kicker was, as you pointed out, in week one, you know, from 60-some-odd yards out.
Oh, no, I forgot about that one, Rich. I really did. He didn't hit the 64-yarder. He didn't go in the record books. If he went in the record books, I would have remembered him because he missed it. Now we're talking about why he didn't go with Russell Wilson, who they just him as the franchise to get. They get a fourth and five. I mean, even Trent Dilfer can get you a fourth and five. And congratulations to my old quarterback, the new UAB head coach. I like it.
Well, listen, Warren, I'm glad you came on. I'm glad you were honest that you were concerned about the traffic on Dale Mabry more than believing in Tom Brady. You know?
The stadium wasn't full. It was bad enough. The stadium wasn't full. It was 50-50 Saints fans last night.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was not a good night at the office, but we pulled it out, and we'll take the W, and we 500 right now, and let's march on.
All right. Love you, Warren. Thanks for the time. You be well.
Love you back, baby, every
right.
time.
That's
Richie.
It. That's the yeah. QB killer right there. Warren Sapp, everybody. Hey, Warren, be honest with you. I texted you when things were looking bleak and your team was down 13. Well, Rich, to be honest with you, that's when I left the stadium.
I was in the car.
What an exchange. What an exchange.
Wait,
the comeback foiled both our plans.
Wait. Was he serious, though?
About coaching?
Yeah.
I can't tell. I think so.
I can't.
If Deion called him up and said, you want to coach here? I think he would go.
Because it seemed like he said he was going to reach out.
Maybe he will. But he's got to get his degree first in general studies.
That would be amazing, man.
The latest on the Odell Beckham Jr. free agency tour. And your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial before Sean McDermott of the Bills and CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys joins us. There's penalty kicks happening in the Middle East right now, folks. And Spain is in deep doo-doo. How does that sound for soccer analysis, World Cup analysis? The Spain coach right now looks like he's swallowing his own vomit as Morocco is up 2-1 on PKs, and it's the third attempt from Spain right now. I don't know if this is the express written consent of FIFA that I'm allowed to do this sort of stuff. They got to get this one, and he does not get it.
Oh my God.
Holy crap! Spain is 0 for its first three on penalty kicks.
Oh, my God.
And Morocco is about to bounce Spain. All they got to do is light the lamp one more time. How's that, by the way, for soccer analysis?
Pretty good. You should do that, soccer.
I mean, this Moroccan keeper has been phenomenal.
Lights out. One went off the post.
He's doing
and he
this
saved
thing
two.
Where he's like dancing and I would do that like too. Throw him off.
Wouldn't you, if you're the soccer goalie, the keeper, wouldn't you just like do all sorts of crazy
weird
stuff?
Like weird,
you know,
crazy stuff.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Three Stooges.
Like missed free throws. Like,
Yeah, you'd get like thunder sticks, right?
Yeah, I don't
think you could. You can't use props.
Didn't the Hawks try to like use a bikini poster to try to like distract Larry Bird once?
I don't think it worked. Okay, so this is it, folks. Spain can be out, and Morocco.
Wow.
May advance.
This guy is about to have a statue.
And he's got it.
Oh, and he used the Chris Brockman method.
The Chris Brockman method.
Down the
people
middle.
People don't understand that you know soccer.
I'm an expert. Spain is out.
And go ahead, explain.
This is what I said that I would do during PKs. Like, all these guys like trying to like kick it as hard as they can into the corner and the low left and the low right. Just nice and easy right down the middle. The keeper is going to dive to one side or the other because he's trying to guess which way you're going.
Correct.
Straight, right down the middle.
And that's how Morocco just, actually, I think,
got two of its three.
And Spain is shocked. I mean, right now, the entire country of Spain, as we're sitting here on this program, is freaking out.
Wow.
They
were one of the favorites.
You enjoying this, TJ?
TJ's not watching anything because he doesn't have it on his screen. But I painted the word picture for you. Were you not on the edge of your seat?
It was like listening to the radio. I know how they're feeling at home listening to you. I can't see it, but I visualized it. And I saw Brockman. I saw the ball going right down the middle.
I don't know. I don't know who called it. Ian Dark, John Strong. You can use my they're in deep doo-doo line. And also, that the coach was swallowing his own vomit.
And coming up in the next match, Rich, we got Portugal and Switzerland. Ronaldo, maybe the greatest footballer of all time, benched.
What?
Benched, not starting for Portugal.
And he had his eyebrows done and everything.
And everything.
Yeah. He there's no question that man does his eyebrows, right?
On fleek.
Wow. That's a deep
John Miller
cut right there.
Ronaldo has a lot of stuff done that we all should probably have.
There is no question. In my mind, that he gets his eyebrows done.
Yeah.
And the fact is he's got to get his eyebrows done just for the World Cup, and now he's going to be benched? Ronaldo on the bench?
They're literally carrying off the keeper like Rudy.
They should.
The Moroccan.
Well, this is real, though. Rudy didn't get carried off by the entire team, right? Let's slow clap for Morocco.
We should.
Like we're all Charles S. Dutton right now.
Morocco was one of the surprise advancees to their knockout stage, and now they score a huge upset.
Look at you giving our viewers and listeners proper soccer analysis of a breaking story.
You want to know why? I didn't bet on this game, so I was like fully locked in.
Okay, good. The Odell Beckham Jr. free agency sweepstakes stopped off with the Giants, met the Bills, met with the Cowboys. And we've got the head coach of the Bills, Sean McDermott, coming up. And we've got CeeDee Lamb of the Dallas Cowboys coming up. So we're going to hear straight from people who've been part of the wooing process.
Woo!
Now, the aspect about this that's such a wild card is the fact that a guy who blew out his knee in the Super Bowl. All blown out knees are different. Just look at Chase Young, right? Chase Young is still not back on the field. Michael Gallup is. He just caught two touchdown passes, right, for the Cowboys. Chris Godwin caught a game-winning touchdown pass that got called back after blowing out his knee at the same time last year. We're not too far off from Odell Beckham. But it takes a while for these guys to get up and running.
Yeah.
And one thing that he's not doing, apparently, for all teams is getting up and running. He is not working out for teams. He's not getting out there on the field and showing how he can cut, how he can move. He's not doing that. And I guess all teams are waiting maybe for Odell's dad to put the video out on Twitter, because that's the last way he got his free agency papers, right? And so you've got to sign him sight unseen. And apparently Odell is asking for more than just this year, meaning he's not taking my advice.
Yeah.
I would just do this year, show up, show out. And as you know, my advice to Odell was
really
he should do
advice,
this every year. Skip mini camp, skip training camp, skip the first half of the season. And then once the trade deadline's over and everybody is in need of you, you know who's in need of you and you know who you can win a Super Bowl with. And just do this every year. And
I don't think that's really
him coming in and saying, I'm not working out for you and I want more than just this 1 year, which is apparently what he's asking for. This may not be true. This is all reports. It's caused some to say, how good is his knee? And apparently, it appears, certainly when you got to put liability language in and injury language and how much this and that, you know, apparently somebody who is a little bit hesitant based on all the circumstances is none other than Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, who, as you know, has called him additive. He's been all over Odell. Yeah. But now that I guess when it's rubber meets road and it's time to make an offer and it's time to negotiate, this sounds like it is certainly not a done deal to Dallas. As we've all mentioned, this does appear to be his best option if you're looking at winning a Super Bowl this year and also marketing and sizzle and steak and all of that. This was Jerry on local radio on his 105.3 The Fan weekly appearance in the Metroplex.
Why are you confident, or why would you be confident in signing somebody that you haven't seen work out coming off an ACL 9-10 months ago?
Well, I'm not confident at all. And so that's the issue. Now, we all realize that that issue of health, that issue of availability is here every time. Just this one is very obvious and very pointed toward his injury that had occurred last year in the Super Bowl. So we've got a good beat on that. We've got a great read on his career. It's not like a draft pick coming at you. You've got a lot of history here, and you can take a good look at everything, not only the obvious, and that's his performance, but also any issues regarding health. So all of this, we've got to come in with our eyes wide open, and it has to be addressed, and that's when you see if you can make a deal or not.
Well, all right. By the way, Buffalo's not a bad spot to go to if you want to win a Super Bowl this year. And, you know, Vaughn is going to be coming back. I'm sure Vaughn is on the phone burning it up.
Yeah, right.
Although there's no NBA team to go sit courtside in the owner's seats as he did last night to a Mavericks game. And by the way, the I'm looking on the screen there, and I don't see CeeDee Lamb sitting with him. Jerry only has three seats. Is that it? But it sure looks like Odell's having a good time. And you know who can close? Micah Parsons can close.
I mean, Micah Parsons got you to get out of your host chair.
He can close.
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Fascinating.
But he's not working out, and he wants more than maybe just this 1 year. And a businessman like Jerry Jones, not like, you know, the Pagulas are turnip truck. They fell off a turnip truck making a deal. And the same thing with the Maras and the Tishes. I mean... And he's like, I'm not working out. I say you pull the trigger anyway.
Do you think that's more Jerry speak, though, Rich?
It could be just like he's got to make a business deal.
You do a good job of reading between the lines.
And Michael Irvin told a story about once upon a time about how, you know, he's like, at one point, you know, this whole earth, we'll be all off this earth. We'll all be done, whatever. And the only thing that's going to be left standing is me and you, right? Right,
he said
he was making me laugh when he was basically telling me no about my money. Didn't DeMarcus Ware say that he lights a votive candle in his office and stares you in the face, and there's no agents in the room, and he makes a deal without?
He's like come on,
that could be this version of Jerry Jones we're seeing right now.
Sign this deal, you know you are.
His answer could be, all right, I'll go to Buffalo and I'll see you in the Super Bowl on the other side. You know, so this is amazing and fascinating and. We're going to get an answer soon. Apparently Wednesday or Thursday is when Odell's going to say something. If not tonight, Sean McDermott's coming up.